Well, get your Bibles out or take out your phone app or your iPad. What am I leaving out? Please turn on your page-turning app so I can hear your pages turn. Go to 2 Corinthians. We'll start in chapter 5 and we'll end in chapter 6. One of my favorite passages of scriptures as it relates to being born again and what happens in our hearts and in our lives is the favorite verse. You know, 2 Corinthians, it talks about being reconciled to God. In verse 15, it says, "And he died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves." Somebody say, amen. Oh, goodness gracious, that was so weak. I'm going to have to preach for 2 hours if you don't say amen here. Thank you. "For him who died, but for him who died for them and rose again." And then it's in verse 16. "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer." And here's the verse that is so powerful. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." One version says a new creature. All right? And it goes on, "All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That is the very essence of what salvation is all about. You get to start over. You become a person that you never was. I could bore you with the Greek language here, but the original language, the word there for creation, means literally to become someone you were not. A brand new you. And then for the rest of your life, you get to find out who you are. As a king's kid, as a woman of God, or a man of God, or you know, we talked about a while back that there's so many of us that doesn't see themselves as a queen or a princess or a prince, but we see ourselves as paupers. Running, we're like the kid that says, "Give me my inheritance," and from his dad, he went off and squandered all of his money. And we don't realize the inheritance that we have, you know, in Christ today. I mean, even this morning I was walking up. I always get here early because I love to walk and pray. I love just coming here. There was a guy here getting a Coke, and he come up. And let me tell you something. I've been doing this for 20-something years, and I've run into a lot of demons during that time. And this guy was ate up with them. I mean, he literally growled at me. When I walked past him, he just, and it was like, all the hair, I don't have much hair back here, but it stood up, you know. And so I just stopped and I just looked at him, and he was just wild. I thought he was going to jump on me. And so I just did the next, "Good morning." And he went, that's interesting. And I just stopped and looked at him and smiled, and he picked up his pace. And kept going. You know, what happened there, he was trying to scare me. And what happened was I scared him by saying good morning. Because, you see, there's this demonic thing that was going on, this warfare. And in the past, I would have maybe thought crazy things about him. But you know what happened in that moment? My heart broke for him. It just broke for him because this guy's bound up with bad choices and sin. And he stunk to high heaven. I mean, I don't know when the last time he had a bath. I imagine, maybe he thought I was going to steal his little canned Coke from him. I don't know. But my heart just broke for him. But I stopped and I was going to say something else. And he ran. Just picked up the pace and got out of here. And it's kind of like I wanted to say, "Dude, I'll buy you another can. Let me talk to you. We got cake in here. But it was just, broke my heart. The power of the gospel is that, you remember the old, is it the Baptist hymnal? "He breaks the power of cancerous sin." Was that Wesley? That sounds like something Wesley would say. You know, it's just, he breaks that power. You become a new creation. Something that you weren't before. You have all this brand new liberty that's inside of you. You begin to understand this relationship with your God, a heavenly Father that loves you, that wants your good always. He's got a great plan for your life. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to reach your potential in Him. I put on my Facebook post this past week, you know, the promises of God. God looks after His promises. He performs His promises, especially as we respond to them in faith. But I'm learning after 20-something years of ministry that He gives me grace to reach my potential, but He's not going to cause me to reach my potential. Reaching your potential is your responsibility. Now, He gives you grace. He empowers you, you know, to do it. But oftentimes why we don't reach our potential is because we don't believe. We believe He's a great God. We don't believe that that great God lives inside of me or inside of you. So I encourage you today, don't stop dreaming. If you do, can you just do us a favor and go to heaven? I'm serious. If you stop dreaming, if you stop going after your potential, then he says in verse 1 of chapter 6, Paul says this, and then we, as workers together with Him, could you underline that in your Bible? I don't know how you do that on your phone. But we, it says, listen, let it, get it, as workers together with Him. If you want to, if you have a book, you can write partner there. As workers together with Him. In His sovereignty, God desires to partner with you and I. Now, of late, we're hearing testimonies where since He's God, He thinks He can do whatever He wants to do, okay? So He's beginning to appear to Muslims in the Middle East and their dreams. We talked about this last week. In Iran particularly, there are tens of thousands of Muslims coming to the Christian faith in Iran of all places. And it is against the law, i.e. they will kill you if you convert to Christianity. And so God in His, I call it the humor of God. He was just sitting there and they, you know, all the Ayatollahs and the king bourgeoisie people said, we've got it controlled. We're not going to let Christianity come to Iran. So Jesus just does the next best thing. He starts appearing to people in their dreams. We talked about this last week where, you know, Jesus knocked Paul off his donkey. And Paul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecute. It's hard to kind of kick against the goads. In other words, I am a wall that you can't break. And, of course, you know, Paul said, okay, I give. Aren't you glad that Paul said yes to Jesus? I mean, I'm sure God would have raised somebody else up. But he did that. And so God is just sovereignly touching the Middle East. And, of course, you know, we just bombed Syria. And they just did atrocities of chemical. Was it chemical? I can't forget what it was. Gas, I think it was sarin gas. It's just, somebody say the insanity of sin. I mean, that's just what it is. And yet, if you look hard enough and you investigate hard enough, you'll find Christians already over there. They're there working in the camps, and they're coming to know Jesus by the thousands. That's worth shouting over. You know why they're doing that? Because they understand their potential. They understand how big God is. Or perhaps I should say, they understand how big He is in comparison to maybe others in the body of Christ. It's just amazing to me as I listen to the news and as I do a little bit more digging to get behind what's going on in the Mercy Ship Ministries of Youth with a Mission and what they're doing. I think they have 6 ships now where they're running around and ministering in these other countries, and thousands are coming to know Jesus. If you know anything about me, you know I will never circle the wagons. We're not going to do that. We're going to keep going forward, seeing souls won and disciples made and the gifts of the Spirit functioning in our lives so that others can come to know Him as well. That's who we are. We don't circle the wagons here. We go. We go. We go. We go. We go. We go into Walmart. Oh, glory to God. We go into Publix. We go, you know, how many of you visited our new stores this week? I saw a post, someone just posted something to me and said, I have fallen in love with Holly Lobby. Can you please give me $12,000? And then we've got Dick's Sporting Goods. I think it's opening up soon. You know, and Five Below. I didn't even know that. I thought it was a winter store where you can buy. And I'm thinking, that's got faith, man. You're in Lake City, Florida, and you got, big heavy coats, I said, man, that's real faith. And then someone said, no, everything in the store is $5 or less. Oh, that makes more sense. It's got dental offices there. All kind of stuff is going on as you go. Number one, if you're a born-again believer, you're going as a new creation. Number two, if you're a born-again believer, you're going partnering with God. Everywhere you go, the Holy Ghost goes. Truthfully, He's already there when you get there, but He's inside of you. Maybe we should have that as a contest. Write an essay of what that means to you in 1,500 words or less. Uh-huh. Come on. Let me give you some questions as we look at this together real quickly. What gains, what growth has been made in your life since January 1 of this year? What breakthroughs have you had in your prayer life? How has the power of God surprised even you since January the 1st of this year? How has your thinking changed? Do you see the problems or do you see the possibilities? Number two, how has God's grace and power affected your life since January the 1st? It got quiet in this church. Come on, Beth, this is a good time. Think about it just for a moment. How has it affected you? What are you experiencing new? Listen, it's an ever-increasing what? Kingdom. Ever-increasing kingdom. In other words, it's not here and that's no further. All right? That doesn't mean that. It's ever-increasing. It's an eternal kingdom of God. That means it's all kind of stuff. I remember listening to Joy Dawson. How many of you know who Joy Dawson is? Anybody remember? I got one, two. Joy Dawson. She's crazy. I mean, she's just like, glory to God, crazy. And she used to teach us in Youth with the Mission. She was, I think maybe she's got some physical issues now. But back in the day, when Nancy and I were in Youth with the Mission, she would teach. And you think I'm long-winded. You listen, we were in New Mexico in the desert. For some reason, we were camped out in this desert next to El Paso. And she got up there and taught for an hour. We're up there, with our Bibles and reading, and the sun, it's like 100-something degrees. And right in the middle of it, she said, "You think it's hot here? You ought to go to New Delhi. It's 130 degrees in the shade." Because we were all perspiring. I guess she thought she was going to encourage us with that word, So she made us all stand up. So we all stood up, and she said, "Repeat after me. Thank God I'm not in Calcutta." So we're like a bunch of bumbling idiots. Thank God we're not in Calcutta. Now, don't you feel cooler? And we all went, "No." No, we don't feel cooler. Thank you very much. But in my years there, 6 years, of course, I met my sweetie in Argentina. That was really good. It came out of Youth with a Mission. But I was always learning something about God's grace, and it was amazing to me how God just kept introducing topics and subjects and acts to my life, and I was growing in my faith. You see, the problem with it is that when I finally got out of youth with a mission, we charge hell with a water pistol. It didn't matter. You know, God said, put a Bible in every home in Mexico. Bless God, we're going. You know what? We did it. We took city after city after city, and over years and summers, we'd go in there and pass that Bible. Saw hundreds and thousands come to know Christ. We just did it. So you take that mentality, right? And then you put it into a frozen, chosen church. And you're looking around going, what's wrong with you people? Look, come on, get up, let's go. God told us to go. Now you know why I am like I am. I cut my teeth on this. It's all I know. Go, 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 go. It's all I know. Pray, pray. Believe God for a miracle. Sow that $2.30 for the blessing. Run after it. Open your mouth. Say something good for Jesus' sake. Try. Put your foot in your mouth. It's fine. Look, my foot, I got a 9.5 mouth. It fits fine. But I can't tell you how much I learned from those experiences. You're new. Not only are you a new creature, you are partnering with God. How has that affected your life? What can you point to, number three? What can you point to in your life that gives evidence that you know and you are moving in God's purpose for your life? She didn't know I was going to do this because when she got up and started talking, I just started smiling on the inside. So she just said, well, you know, I thank God told me to go to the Bethel and blah, 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 blah. She talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. I was sitting in my mind thinking, I wonder when she's going to ever apply. I'm going to Bethel. Oh, really? Good. God bless you. You got to apply to the school. I don't have the money. Apply to the school. Well, what about apply to the school? Listen, when I got accepted into Fuller, I thought it was the happiest day of my life until I looked at how much I owed them. And then it's kind of like, God, you got a problem. And I'll encourage you because my first semester there, I didn't have squat. I got there, I got into my apartment with my wife that was pregnant, 7 months pregnant with our third child. Somebody said, it's either God or you just crazy. I paid my $200 down on my tuition. That's all I had. My security deposits on my lights and for my little podunk apartment that is more than a mortgage payment in the South. Bought a little bit of groceries and we were broke. I had no idea how we were going to do it. But I was thinking, well, it was a nice ride out there. Probably be a nice ride back. Somebody called me. You know the story. Somebody called me and said, hey, I've been praying for you. And I thought to myself, good. I need prayer. He said, I'm sending you a little something. I said, okay. Be looking for it in the mail. Your address such and such? I said, yeah, that's it. Just be looking for it. Okay. Well, four or five days later, it came, you know, and I opened it. Little thing, God bless you, we're praying for you. And there's a check in there, you know. I'm thinking $500, $100, $150, $6,000. That's what I did. I spoke in tongues for 2.5 days. I still have. Dusty and Luke were just little old thoughts, and they were looking at their check, and their eyes got that big around. They were walking around waving that thing. And they were singing, our God is bad. Our God is bad. Oh, our God is bad. And I thought, well, I'm getting in there with them. Our God is bad. it took me for a quarter and a half until I, about a half a year, it paid all my tuition until I was able to find a job. What can you point to? I'm serious, guys. This, I mean, you don't have to say it out loud. And if you can't, here's the good news for you. You will be able to. But you got to change. You got to change something. Listen to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21. If you want to turn there, you can. Earl, can you get me a bottle of water? This is a two-bottle water sermon. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21. I guess maybe I should turn there. Paul says this. Let's just back it up just a couple of verses to get it in context. He says, for through the law I died to the law that I might live to God. For I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Number 21, here it is. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, he said, then Christ, thank you. Then Christ, it says, died in vain. Listen, can you underline that in your Bible or whatever you do on your phone? I did not set aside the grace of God. The implication is what? That you can set aside the grace of God. That you can settle in. I'm going to let my theological colors fly. And by the way, in the near future, on Sunday nights, I'm going to be teaching about this stuff. And we're getting the video, and we're going to put it online, and it's going to be good. People are going to be hitting on it, and it's all kinds of stuff. And if there's any empty chairs, I've got blow up mannequins, so it looks like everything is full. No, I'm teasing. We're not going to do that. But there is just don't throw tomatoes at me. This is my views at this point in my life, and it's been 20 years in the making. I believe the grace of God is able to keep you, but I also believe you got to cooperate with it. And what that means is there's a lot of people running around saying, I'm eternally secure, I'm eternally secure, I'm eternally secure. Jesus said, nothing can snatch me out of his hand. And the truth is, nothing can, but you can walk away. You can walk away, right? So there's a lot of people laboring under this idea it's not gospel that I can get saved, I can get baptized. We're going to do that Sunday. But the word baptism means out with the old. You die. It is symbolic. And indeed, there's a grace personally that I believe that's involved in the baptismal process. Out with the old, up with the new. The old man died, the old woman dies, and you come into the reality of the verse that we just read. Behold, all things become new. From that moment forth, you walk away from who you used to be because you're no longer that person. And so if there's this idea that I can kind of get by because I'm eternally secure in God. I've been, you know, in the last 10 years of my life, I've refused to do funerals. Because they would come up and tell me all that. And I knew the fruit. Look at the fruit. I knew the fruit of that person's life. They're asking for water right now. To throw out the flames. And I know it's real. I've been in hospital rooms where people have died. And the last word they said was, someone get me out of these flames. Now you talk about putting the fear of God in you and in your loved ones starting to boo-hoo. And you also talking about a precious moment to pull out your old back pocket New Testament and preach the gospel? That's it. You want to be like that? Let me tell you how you can stay out of the flame. What about my? He's done. It's over with. That's a hard, crucial word. But the reality is, it's over with. He's made his bed. She made her choices. But you don't have to experience that. Just put the fear of God. And on the same token, I've had people sit up and say, don't you guys see him? My own uncle did that. Don't you see him? And we're going, they called it a concoction. He was dying from cancer and lots of pain. And his wife said, whatever you do, doctor, I don't want him to be in pain. He said, I can take care of that. Had this little concoction thing he was drinking, and he was, fly me to the moon. I mean, he was there. You know what I'm talking about? And then he was just breathing real shallow. And I think I shared this last time. He sat up in bed. Aline!
What?
Look!
What? Don't you see? See who, Claude? Jesus, don't you see him?
You know what? It was the most precious moment. She said, well, just go with him. And he laid down and went, gone. Now, which one would you like to go out with? I'm telling you guys, there is this hellish teaching that says I can say yes to Jesus, shake the preacher's hand, maybe get dunked in water, or if you're Methodist, a little bit of sprinkling stuff going on, and then after that, it does not change your life. And I'm here to tell you, you were stillborn. It didn't take. Because when God's love and grace impacts your life, so what are some of the negative characteristics? Number one is fruitless. Can you point to the fruit, guys? And I ain't talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Too many churches is focusing on the internal, because I'm telling you, if the internal's right, it's going to bear fruit on the outside. I'm all about building character. I really am. I believe in building character. The truth is, if the Holy Spirit is operating in your life, he's going to build character. You know why I know that? Because my natural daddy, he built character in me. And sometimes he did it by taking me out back and making me get my own switch so he could beat me with it. And like an obedient idiot, I went out there and ripped up a tree and said, here, Dad, beat me to death with it. And God bless you. But you know what? He disciplined me because he loved me. He loved me. And you know what that did? It caused character to be formed in my life. And guess what happened? It went out on the outside. I just started having, I told you that crazy example about that radical feminist saying, you don't have to hold the door open for me because I'm a lady. I said, I didn't. She said, well, why did you do it? I said, I held the door open because I'm a gentleman. I did real good because I wanted to say something, but I didn't. Are you bearing fruit? It goes back to that third question. Can you point to something in your life that connects with God's kingdom and the movement of that kingdom in the earth today and say, here's some fruit. Here's a life that I've touched. Here's what's going on in my life. I've got the privilege of going up. There's a couple of rehab centers up in Georgia that I've been invited to come and tour the facility. They're doing a great work for God. Bunch of crazy. How many of you know when you're addicted, you're just crazy? I mean, you are. You're just crazy. You don't think right. You ruin your marriage. You ruin your children. You ruin your family. Nobody wants to be around you until that moment. You run into a wall, and it's called God's goodness. And he says, now what are you going to do? And these men, these ladies, some of them were prostitutes. And they're getting their lives. You know what they're doing? They're getting the input of the gospel. God, they're telling them about how good God is, how much God loves them. They're telling them about who they are in Christ. And they're just starting to go, this is a lot better than that.
Can you point to something that you're pouring your life into that releases your potential?
Fruit. God, I wrote this in my notes. I heard you saying something about that. Oh, I wrote this in my notes. God and His Word refuses to be tamed. I mean, have you ever tried to put a bridle on the king of the animal world? Can you imagine going up to a lion and say, open wide, let me put this harness on you? You're going to draw back a nub, at least, and you're going to discover how to walk on water. The Word of God, Hebrews what? 6:12. The Word of God is what? Quick and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the bone between the bone and the marrow, the intent of your very heart, it will not be tamed. The Word of God, listen to me, knows you. You might not know it or him, but it knows you. And it refuses to be tamed. One of my favorite songs, and I'm showing my age here, so be graceful. Born to be wild. That would be a good worship song. Huh? Born to be, I mean, doesn't it just go, yeah, that's me, baby. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about being stupid. Certainly not talking about being crazy. But how many of you know sometimes the world looks at you're crazy and God looks at it as finally he's getting it. I'm serious, guys. Are we using Scripture as an instrument to establish a technique instead of allowing Scripture to form us into the image of God? Is it information we want or formation? Now, I love going to meetings. Sometimes. You know, I feel like Nancy, we have a standing joke sometimes when I'm not feeling really good, which is not, they're not as bad as they used to be. Come on, get up. We got to go to church. I don't want to go to church. You got to get up. Come get them covers off. You got to go to church. I don't want to go to church. But you're the pastor. You have to go to church. Have you ever felt that way? I don't want to be guilty of what Paul's admonishment to Timothy when he said, you know, there's some folks out there that are always learning, but they're never coming to the truth of the gospel. They have a form of godliness, he said in another place, but they deny the power thereof. I mean, you can see either say, whoa, oh, hot diggity dog, or woe is me. This is not like, so many people preach it like, here's gospel A, be sweet and nice and come to church when you want to. And here's gospel B, you can really do the stuff that it talks about in there. You know, that is not in Scripture. I'm sorry, it's not in Scripture. It's just one thing. Go! Throw the gusto! Fill with the Holy Spirit! Deal with your sin! Reach your potential in Jesus. Bearing fruit. Number two. Talking about characteristics. Only have one more. So that gives you a little time reference. Are you ineffective
or leaving a spiritual legacy? Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Come on, boys. Well, who else is following you? I mean, particularly, if you think you're a leader and nobody's following you, you ain't leading. You're just taking a walk. I'm sorry, you're not. And every one of us has been called to be a leader. The church has done a disservice to its people when they put on the pedestal leadership. And down here somewhere it's just average people, average believers. We're all called to bear fruit and to lead. Every one of us, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you remember that time when he looked at him and said, if you guys, it's during the Passion Week, he said, you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have anything in me. You remember what happened? What is that Galilean talking about? This is a hard saying. I'm putting it in Terry Shiver translation. I always thought he was a fruitcake, but now I know he's a fruitcake. I'm not going to eat his toe. I ain't going to cut him and sip on that blood. And the Bible says they all left. And you know what he did? He went to the corner and said, pray for me, boys. Please, Peter, pray for me. It's just so bad. Nobody loves me. He turned to his 12 and said, you going too? Are you going to leave too? You know where he had, the Bible says when the time came during the Passion Week, it says he set his face like flint to get to Jerusalem because he knew he had to die for our sins. And he knew on the third day, after he grabs the keys of death and hell, he's going to turn around and look at the devil and go, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. You think I'm bad? I've got millions following me. You're going to have a headache every day of your existence until I throw you into hell itself. Are you leaving a legacy? Somebody say, I like this. This is good. Paul said it, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Listen to these admonishments. Become sober-minded, and I'll give you the verses here in just a minute. Become sober-minded as you ought. And stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I'll give you one guess what church he was talking to. 1 Corinthians 15. Good old Corinthians church. I love Corinthians church because they were willing to try. They were willing to get out there and see what the gifts of the Spirit was all about. But you know what? They bucked up. So Paul just steps in and said, stop sinning! Become sober-minded as you ought.
This is good preaching, isn't it? Glory to God. Don't make me amen myself, because I will. Therefore, beloved, my beloved brother, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. Plant seeds, water the seeds, or reach the harvest. Plant seeds. Well, I've done all three in a matter of an hour and a half. Planting seeds, watering seeds. Today, I don't know what I did. It was either planting or watering. A crazy guy that was up here, it's kind of like he couldn't get away from me fast enough, you know. And it kind of went, I kind of snickered because it's kind of like, you don't even know who you're messing with, boy. And I ain't talking about me either. I'm talking about the power of the ghost.
because he couldn't stand being around her. It happens in South Georgia and North Florida. It happens.
Hold fast, he says. Real quickly, I'll skip over some of this. Make sure that you have a spiritual legacy. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "For by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove in vain. But I labor even more that all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God within me." What kind of legacy, guys, are you living? Last of all is, are you aimless? Or are you purpose driven? Let me say it again. Are you aimless, or are you purpose-driven? You know, if there's too many of us, we reach over here, we get our bow and our arrow, and then we go where it's stuck, and we paint a bullseye. So it looks like we knew what we were doing, you know. No, man. You know, the whole thing, we believe where was it? Was it last week or at the school? We were talking about declarations and decrees, making declarations and decrees. And I would like to suggest to you that when you make declarations and decrees, it reveals what you're aiming at. Kind of puts a little bit of the fear of the Lord in there, right? Yeah. One more scripture and then we'll close. Let's go to Thessalonians. I've been reading out of Thessalonians the last couple of weeks. And it says this in verse 1 of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." If you want to do a really good Bible study, go to your concordance and just look up all the scriptures that has the word vain in it. It'll stir your faith. How Paul was guarded against not wasting his time and his effort, but making sure that the grace of God hit the mark and cooperating with him, i.e., partnering with the Lord. "But even after we had suffered before and were spiritually treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come to you from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not pleasing men, but God who tests the heart." There's the declaration. There's the decree. As I have been approved by God, so I speak. It's God's seal of approval on that purpose of yours as you declare it into the earth. That divine call. Paul had a choice. He could reject the grace of God for ministering or move in God's timing in his purpose. And he always moved. We were studying up in Valdosta, we were studying about we were studying about Jesus and the demoniac in Mark chapter 6, I believe it was, and how, you know, he had come across the lake, and he was asleep in the boat, and the storm kicked up. Y'all remember the story in Mark chapter 6? Actually, that's Mark chapter 5. It occurred to me during that time that just really rattled my cages, because the disciples turned to him and said, "Lord, help us! You care not that we perish." And of course, you know, he kind of startled up and he stood up and said, "Yo!" That's my translation. He said, "Peace, be still." And it died down. And then the very next thing, he turns and looks at them and said, "Where's your faith?" And what really got me was, here's the disciples turning to him, "Lord, help us." What does that sound like? It sounds like a prayer. He said, "Lord, help us, please." And Jesus answered their prayer. He helped. Oh, it's kind of like, hey, we're having church. We prayed and God answered. And then the very next thing, he turns and rebukes them for praying. Where's your faith? You know what the insinuation was? Why didn't you do it? Because they had just came out of the great feeding, you know. You know, the two loaves and the fishes, and he said, "You feed them." You remember what he said? "You feed them." And they all went, "Let's all get together and pray for Jesus. He's not in his right mind today." And so he says, "Have them sit down. Sit them in groups of hundreds or thousands." And he broke the bread, and, you know, then they gave it to them, and then they were walking around going, "Did you see that thing multiply when I touched it? As I gave it out, we got more. Every time I touched it, he gave it." Yeah, well, yeah, man, we're moving and cruising now. We're going to get our circuit. We're going to be on TV. We're going to do all things. I mean, we're going to be somebody special. And then the next day, I mean, they're in the boat. And so they said, "Lord, please help us. I'll answer your prayer." Then he turns around and say, "Where's your faith?" You know why we don't reach our potential? Because we're expecting God to do it for us. And his response to you and I today is, "Where's your faith?" They land, you remember? They land there in the region of the Gerasene, and they have one convert. It was a demon-possessed man full of legions. They said, "What's your name, legions?" There's many of us. They traveled this long distance. Here's the heart of God. You ready? Travel all of this long distance for one disciple. And the Bible says that when the man was clothed and in his right mind, read it. Mark chapter 6. They were afraid of him. It was okay as long as he was naked and running around cutting himself. They were okay with that. And in chains, oh yeah, we know him. We go out there and pop popcorn and drink drinks and watch him go crazy. But when he is in his right mind and clothed, it's in the scriptures that says they were afraid of him. And he said, "Let me go with you." He said, "No, you go. You go and tell what God done for you." I mean, who in the world? They were afraid of him. Who's going to listen to him? There he is. Run for your life. It's a trick. It says something about the man, because the next time Jesus in Scripture comes back around to that place, there were thousands waiting on him. Thousands. Guess why they were there? One man who understood forgiveness, who understood that when the phones ring, you're supposed to answer it. One man who understood forgiveness, who understood the love of God, and understood the power of that love to break every sin in his life. While people were afraid of him, he still proclaimed what God has done.
Is that you? That ain't you. Take your clothes off so I can recognize you. What are you doing? Let me tell you. Let me tell you. He left a spiritual legacy. Pretty tall order, isn't it? Actually, it's just the grace of God. May God help us to deal with every little argument that we try to use to persuade ourselves from not reaching our potential. Now, if you're like me, I read these scriptures, and you know what I do? I get this revelation. You know the first thing I do? I hit my knees and say, "Dear Jesus, please forgive me." Whistling Dixie in the wind. I mean, I need help here. I'm looking at this. Going. And when I repent, suddenly I begin to realize there's an adventure waiting for me. Makes perfect sense when you read those scriptures. And after they heard him, they sold everything they had and followed after him. Yeah. All right, stand with me. Let's pray. Go back over my notes. Guys, where are you? What's going on? Are you fruitless? Or are you bearing fruit? Are you ineffective? Or are you leaving a legacy? Do you have a purpose? Or are you aimless? And if you know that purpose, are you giving everything you got for it? Let's pray together. I want you to take just for a few moments, because right now, some of you are under conviction. You need to repent. Some of us have been playing games with God and thinking that we're right with Him, and when in reality it's just breaking His heart because He has so much more for you and I. Some of you may indeed may be under that theological, I think it's heretical, teaching that says, hey, I can say a prayer to Jesus and get dunked in some water and then go about living my life like I want to. And I'll make it to heaven because I'm eternally secure. I'm telling you, with all the fear of God in my heart, you are not. It's called preservation of the saints for a reason. You prevail. That's why he said you're the salt of the earth. Salt preserves. What's your purpose? I've met charismatic Christians that are 25-year-olds in the Lord, and I'll ask them that simple question, and they'll look at me in all sincerity and say, I don't know. And I would fire right back, man, what the heck are you doing with your life? To there. I don't know. Listen, it's right here. Read it. It's right here. It's in the book. Pray for people. Lay hands on people. Share the good news with them. And then if there's a specialty for you, He'll show you that in due season. But just start with the book. Hallelujah. You know, I want to get a place where we actually have an altar with the little pads, you know, where you can kneel. So you can kneel and just stay at the altar. You know, the old Pentecostals, they had something when they say, get on down to that altar and get on your knees until you have breakthrough. There's some of you need breakthrough today. I want to pray for you. Grab the hand of someone next to you. I'm going to pray for you. Listen, I've already done this. I've already told you. See, the good thing about being a preacher is you know what you're going to preach, so you get to repent first. That's the good thing about being a preacher. You've already done your business, so, you know, I'm kind of clean in here, you know. What you're convicted of, tell Him. Tell Him right now. Tell Him what you're convicted of. Ask Him to forgive you. You don't have to do it out loud. I'm not here to try to embarrass you. But I'm telling you, there's been times in my life I hollered it. It was so heavy on my life. I screamed it out. God, forgive me. Because I have succumbed to rejection and the fear of man. Forgive me. Because I have watered down the power of the gospel. Forgive me. Because I have a form of godliness, but I am denying it by the fruit of my life. Now pledge your heart to Him afresh and anew. Lord, right now in this sacred moment, You with us, as a body of believers, and You with each one of us as an individual, restore to us the joy of our salvation. Purify our hearts. We've allowed the world to tame us and to squeeze us into their mold. Forgive us for that. Come and blow again in our minds and in our souls. And I know this sounds silly, but Lord, let the theme song of our lives echo that crazy song of back in the 70s, Born to be Wild. That doesn't mean rebellious or indifference. It just means I'm cutting, trailblazing in the purposes of God. Restore the salt to our lives. Restore the light in our lives. And restore the joy of our salvation. We pray again for this week of passion. As we meet people in our work, in our daily lives, thank You that the Scripture says in Psalms, I believe it's 37, that said a righteous man or woman's steps are ordered of the Lord, that everyone that we meet in this week of passion is an opportunity to show forth Your goodness and mercy in whatever way You deem fit, whether it be through physical healing, inner healing, an encouraging word. Let the gifts of the Spirit be laser accurate this year, this week, as we touch people's lives with the good news of the resurrection power of Christ. And we just thank You for the opportunity, Lord, of witnessing the baptism next Sunday, of having more than likely a ton of visitors next Sunday, packed in here like sardines. What a joy. We cry for more. More, Lord. More. Can you just say that with me? More, Lord. More. One more time. More, Lord. More. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hug somebody before you leave. God bless you.